Hello there, and welcome to the special roundtable for MPTF, the Motion Picture and Television Fund. My name is Nathaniel Thompson, and I'm very pleased to be sitting here today with four people who are going to talk a little bit about how MPTF is benefiting the industry at large, not just here on campus. So first of all, could we just go around the table really quick and introduce yourselves?
Scott Kaiser. I'm a geriatrician and the chief innovation officer at MPTF.
Linda Healy, I'm a nurse practitioner and the director of the palliative care program.
Maureen Feldman, the director of the Social Isolation Impact Project.
Freda Johnson, director of volunteer engagement.
Welcome, everybody. Very glad you're here. First of all, just one by one, really quickly, in maybe one or two sentences, could you talk about, from your own point of view, how does MPTF have an impact on the industry at large?
Well, I mean, I think if you start from our mission, if you think about how we support members of the entertainment industry community in living well, aging well, with dignity and purpose, and helping each other in times of need, that's a broad mission. And we're really dedicated to advancing that throughout the industry. Of course, we're known for the work that we do with older people and have a record of excellence in that. But if we're really going to be effective in the work we do, we have to be a resource for industry members across the lifespan. And what's great is we have some great people with us here today who can tell us about specific services that do serve people across the lifespan. I mean, it's pretty incredible that we have services for everything from early child care to end of life care, meeting the needs of industry members wherever they may be in need.
Palliative care is appropriate for anybody that's dealing with a serious illness, and it can be at any age and at any prognosis, and really any diagnosis that's impacting the person's life. It's when your life gets derailed by what's happening in your health. And not only does the person who has the condition get derailed, but so do the people who love them and the people that are caring for them. And that's where we're out in the community, we're seeing people in the office setting, we're supporting people to be able to stay at home as long as possible and be as well as possible.
As Dr. Kaiser said, we have a lot of programs here on campus, but out in the community. And one of the things that we're focusing a lot on is keeping people connected, because we know that that is beneficial to their health and well-being, and it just provides a much better quality of life. And the project I'm working on is all about reaching out to those members in the community that may not live near here or have access to the many other volunteer and programs that we offer. So we're calling them and reaching out and keeping them connected to the industry and MPTF.
Volunteers help our residents and the clients in the community benefit from the kinds of programs that we have. We try to match people based on what they've done in the industry, and we have different kinds of volunteer programs. Whether it's friendly visiting on campus or off campus, we have daily call sheet, but we also have volunteer-led programs. And what's so great about those are that both the volunteer and the recipient benefit from them. So it's a dual purpose. We have many people now who are retiring earlier. They've had a structured life until they retire, and then they feel lost, lonely. They don't know what to do anymore. So we try to find a place for them as a volunteer, but they're also receiving a benefit as well.
If I could follow up on something the two of you just said about matching volunteers with recipients, what exactly is that process, and how do you determine who needs help out in the world around us?
Well, I'll start with my program, the Daily Call Sheet. We engage both volunteers, as Freda said, and recipients. So different levels of people's engagement. So volunteers often want to find purpose and give back. Mm-hmm. And the recipients might be a little bit older and perhaps isolated. They no longer drive, or they're retired. Some are disabled and struggling with different conditions that don't allow them to socialize. So what we'll do is throughout a basic intake process, find out what they did in the industry, what their hobbies and interests are, and match them with a volunteer who also might know a little bit about that or share a love of a hobby or an interest. And we put them together. Sometime they might have worked at the same company different times, but they share unique experiences. And then that starts, it's a springboard to a social conversation that often leads to a friendship and an ongoing connectivity. They talk, they share that, and many friendships and connections have been made that way. And that's the Daily Call Sheet program. Mm-hmm.
we work closely with our social services department, and they mm-hmm. identify people who would benefit from any of these types of things. We all work together.
Mm-hmm. And that factor that we're an affinity group, right? I mean, this is all industry members helping industry members. So there's just so much opportunity for connection. There's just a shared understanding that allows people to really take this, you know, to a really helpful place, you know. So I just get so excited when I hear kind of about the programs that each of these women are talking about. Because, you know, for me, when we think about the health and well-being of the whole population of people work in the industry, you know, health and well-being as a doctor, I might think, okay, what prescription can I write? Or, you know, what can I do as a doctor? But what we know is it's really all of these social factors. It's what these programs are about. Cultivating social connections, cultivating a sense of purpose, having a team to back you up, to be there for you when you're struggling with serious illness. That's what we know really makes a big difference in people's lives, is these social factors where we have programs that step up to meet people's needs.
Now, this roundtable is tying in with our annual report, which is covering the year of 2017, and there were a lot of changes and advances and things going on. I mean, everything from the Daily Call Sheet, for example, is, you know, one of our newest programs, which is sort of uncharted territory for us. Palliative care, of course, is, you know, the demand for it and the recognition of it has changed significantly in the last year. And Scott, you've been involved in so many medical advances. Could you just sort of talk about what are the biggest changes, the most interesting changes, for example, that you've seen in MPTF and related areas over the past year?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's really what I was just starting to talk about really doubling down on how we can have an impact through social services, social factors. You know, we have social workers, volunteers, all trying to converge to help people on these, what they're called, social determinants of health. That's the jargon in the kind of healthcare world, where we know that it's your, you know, the choices you make, your health behaviors, whether you exercise, what you eat, what kind of relationships you have in your life, your home environment. We have services that do something in all those cases, whether it's home safety or palliative care. So in mediating those social determinants of health, that's really the avant-garde of healthcare. So we work closely with our healthcare partners offering these social services to make sure that people really have the best opportunity to thrive.
Right. And in palliative care, I think what's been different for us in 2017 are a couple of things. One is we've really been able to show movement upstream in a diagnosis. Somebody gets diagnosed with a serious cancer, for example. Two, they may be starting their curative treatment and surgeries and chemo, et cetera. And there's a lot that's impacting their life at that moment. And so just doing the treatments, having that support of a palliative care team to get somebody through that really shows that people tolerate their treatments better and are actually able to be more successful in their treatments with that kind of support. And so we've really been looking at that and working with the physicians that refer to us and have been able to demonstrate that, again, just using the people that have a cancer diagnosis, the majority are referred to us within the first 3 months of the diagnosis being made. And we partner while they're doing their treatment. And if everything goes well, we, you know, wave goodbye at the end and say, we're here if you ever need us, but, you know, it was really great to be of service to you. The other thing that we're doing that's really different in palliative care is we've been able to really broaden the array of services that we offer. So we've always had chaplaincy and social services and the clinical part, whether it's physician or nurse practitioner. But we've been able to add a component that includes aromatherapy and meditation and mindfulness and therapeutic touch, et cetera, to really go after the holistic approach. Because, again, we've just shown, studies have shown, medicine has shown that if you treat the whole person, they're going to do much better and they're going to become much healthier.
Well, the Daily Call Sheet is a relatively new program. And when I started, there's the obvious assumption that there's volunteers and then there's recipients. And what I noticed over the growth of the program, that many of the volunteers are, you know, closer in age to could possibly be a recipient. And the benefits, as Freda had said, that they gain from participating and calling some of these other individuals it's equal. They feel healthier, stronger, more vibrant, connected to the industry, connected to MPTF. And I think they recognize the importance of increasing their own social connections and, again, staying close to the industry. And they gave so many years of their life to us. This is a way for them to give back and to feel a part of us. And so I've noticed that people are starting to self-refer now, where it used to be we would only get referrals from social services. People are hearing about the program saying, oh, I'd like to do that. I'd like to volunteer or receive a call, or I know someone, and often they jump in as well. So for me, it's recipient, volunteer, it's all keeping everyone connected.
Yeah, and the trend in volunteering right now is moving from what you typically think of somebody coming into a retirement home specifically and having the same type of thing day after day, year after year. It's moving more towards baby boomers who want short time, more exciting, more meaningful opportunities to do. So we're creating a lot of volunteer-led workshops. One of the more exciting ones that happened on campus is the drawing workshop. Drawing, it turns out, really keeps the brain engaged, almost more than visiting or any other kind of opportunity that you can have with a volunteer or engage in yourself. So I think it's 54% of people who draw have a reduced memory loss. I think that was a statistic. We have a gentleman who is a writer, director, producer who wanted to come and do a drawing class. He was between shows. He was going to do it for 4 weeks. We gathered some residents together, and they started happily drawing, learning how to draw things with lines and cylinders and circles. And at the end of the four-week period, the residents didn't want it to end. Our volunteer didn't want it to end, and it continued. We've had many successes. Scott could actually talk about one of them. We have a gentleman who has dementia who didn't want to engage in anything, and he came to a couple of the classes and he just sat there and he observed. And then I think on the third time he was there, he picked up a pencil and started to draw. And really nice drawings. And Scott came into my office one day and saw these drawings and was blown away and couldn't believe that this particular gentleman was drawing.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe it. When I saw the signature at the bottom of the drawing, I was blown away because I had taken care of this gentleman a couple weeks earlier. He had been hospitalized. He was basically, I was thinking that the end of his life was near and his cognition was completely impaired. You know, it was not a very hopeful prognosis for this gentleman. And then when I saw that drawing, and then I heard about the level of engagement that evolved through this connection, I was blown away. I couldn't believe it. And as I listen to each of these stories about the programs we have, I think about how that treatment of the whole person, right? So, you know, Linda didn't mention that palliative care, and there are studies that show that people with palliative care have better symptom control, better quality of life, but even live longer despite mm-hmm. having terminal illnesses. Or serious illness. Mm-hmm. Maureen hasn't mentioned that people who are lonely have health. It's as bad for your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day, mm-hmm. yet we can intervene to do something about it. Mm-hmm. You know, Freda could highlight that volunteerism is something that can actually, again, increase your health, increase your longevity, you know, can reduce your risk of death. I mean, that's unbelievable, that kind of impact. So what MPTF does is we look at the evidence around what we know helps people and what works. And then we get together and we innovate and we figure out what's going to work for our community. How can we deliver the best service possible? And then we really do something that creates a model. And I don't know of any other industry that has anything like that, that has a whole team backing them up to make sure that they can have the best health and quality of life, live well and age well across the lifespan. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's why I know we all love working here so much. It gives us such tremendous pride to be part of an organization that's doing something that's just unparalleled.
Well, on a related note, so Scott and Maureen, you're both very closely involved on the Daily Call Sheet, which, like I said, is something that's it's sort of untested. It's a fairly new concept. So what kind of recognition or what kind of results are you seeing? I mean, I know you've talked about, you know, that it's relieving loneliness. Have there been any, say, bonds forming between the volunteers and the recipients, or what's been happening?
Absolutely. I mean, I could give you stats on, you know, we've already provided over 5,000 phone calls have been made and over 1,500 hours of conversations had. But what really stands out are the stories. You know, we have one industry member who gave his life. He was an editor for 50 years plus. He had been estranged from his daughter for over 40 years. And he's older and he's not well, he's ill. And through the conversations with the volunteer, she encouraged him gently over time to reach out to his daughter. And she said, you know, there's no time like the present. And his response was, there's no time at all. So he reached out to his grown daughter, and I won't say it was a Leave It to Beaver moment, but it took a little while, and she flew out to meet him and brought two grandkids he had never met, and they're working on their relationship. It's an ongoing process, and the volunteer has helped him learn to be a grandfather. She reminds him to send cards or birthday cards or Easter, whatever the holiday is. You know, another one, and one of the volunteers lost her husband, and so the other volunteers reached out and are calling her and keeping her in their thoughts and in their daily activities. We have a member who has just lost her vision, and she was an avid reader. The volunteer taught her how to use Audible and learn how to use podcasts. And we've connected her with another organization that has entertainment via telephone. So all she has to do is dial in, and she can be read to or sung to. So there are definitely friendships that are you know, being created, but we're also connecting some of these industry members with other resources that they may not know is available to them. Things like rideshare programs. They don't know how to use public transportation or rideshare, so the volunteer is taking the time to talk them through that process. Sometimes we find out that they don't have food or other access, so we can then call our social services and step in. We have other people and members who will step in to help them out. So, and then some of the volunteers, we've made peer-to-peer matches. They've become friends. They're having sushi on a weekly basis. They go to other volunteer events here on MPTF together. So it's increased their opportunities to stay connected, but for wellness. And as Dr. Kaiser said, if you have strong connections, it's more important than exercise or whether you smoke. Almost anything you do is good, strong relationships will keep you healthier than anything else you could do.
Right. I know in palliative care, we refer a number of people to the Daily Call Sheet. It seems that there's almost an embarrassment around some people. If life is not going as they think is perfectly, like it should be perfectly, then they become more isolated and more reticent about reaching out to people. But there's something about the voice on the other end of the phone that allows them to be connected again to somebody. And so it's been a really wonderful resource for our patients.
And also, just on the volunteer side, it's much easier for volunteers to talk with the recipients rather than their own family. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of volunteers who say, it's really hard for me to call my mom, but I'm so happy to call one of my clients.
That's true.
And they develop these great friendships, which then make them more tolerant of their own personal relationships. Yeah. So everybody wins.
I will add that several of the volunteers have mentioned how difficult it is to call their own parents. But after talking to the recipients, they admit being more patient and kinder to their own family members because they recognize the fragility and the vulnerability that maybe you don't see in your family member. And now they recognize that. And so we think that's a secondary win, but many of the volunteers have admitted that.
Yeah. And I'll just add, I mean, I think it's incredible. I've seen the difference in my patients who receive calls or provide calls through the Daily Call Sheet. And it's just much more engaged in their health, just brighter, just doing better overall. But beyond the anecdotes, we are collecting the data. Mm-hmm. And we've really put ourselves in a position where we're coalescing many organizations throughout LA and actually nationally to tackle these issues. Mm-hmm. It's pretty remarkable that in each of these programs that we're talking about today and in so many things that we do at MPTF, that obviously we start with what's core to what we do, which is making sure that industry members receive the best care possible and have access to the best programs and services that are out there. But then we take it a step further and really look at how can we drive the conversation, how can we drive better practices to really serve as a national model, mm-hmm. convene other organizations to have a wider impact. Yeah. Again, it's really just, that's just something that's pretty remarkable from mm-hmm. my point of view.
Mm-hmm. We're very lucky to have the support of our leadership to explore things like social isolation and loneliness and to, you know, start a program like this, collect the data, and through that we recognize our members are going to benefit. But we also want to be leaders in this field, and we'll share that, you know, our processes so other organizations can follow the model if they want to start to address these issues as well. And we feel that's important to serve as many people as possible.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. we have other things that we're doing as well, new initiatives. We have a pen pal campaign that's going on right now. We've had two talent agencies engage in that, as well as one studio, where they'll have their employees write letters to our residents and a relationship can develop from that. So we'll do everything we can to keep our industry members from feeling lonely and isolated.
And beyond the individual volunteerism programs, I mean, it's amazing how many volunteers and hours, because again, it's remarkable that the organization's doing great things on the ground, but really has emerged as a national leader in a volunteer-driven mm-hmm. organization.
Where setting. I'd say one of the only nonprofits probably in the world that doesn't have to recruit volunteers. They come like shark's teeth. Last year we had 732 active volunteers that gave almost 47,000 hours. And this is real service. It's meaningful, boots on the ground service, whether it's visiting, calling, helping with our home safety programs. They're just very involved, and we would not be able to do the programs and services that we can. It was almost $1.3 million in value for the volunteer service. Mm-hmm.
Right, the respect and the connectivity of the entertainment industry that the people within it have for each other is amazing, and it's such a privilege to watch because mm-hmm. you said the volunteers are out there helping people who are in their industry, and the results are just incredible.
Well, it's unique in that it's industry members helping industry members. Mm-hmm. So we all do other kinds of volunteering, whether it's at a food bank or Habitat for Humanity. Those are fantastic, but the connection and the bond that's felt when you have an industry member helping another industry member is not like anything else.
You know, if I could pick up on, Scott, you made a reference to this, the fact that MPTF is unique because you do have this basically this huge team that's got your back if you need it, mm-hmm. and you're talking about this amazing resource of volunteers and all of this, you know, the research, the innovations we're involved in. So that also means that we also have to deal with new obstacles that are coming up or new challenges. So, for example, in the world of medicine, I know that's something that you have to speak about publicly quite a bit, but obviously palliative care and with the daily call sheet and volunteering, what are, do you think, the biggest challenges or the innovations that we're facing, and what do we do about it?
For palliative care, I think our biggest challenge right now is we're still scratching the surface on the number of people that I think could benefit from what we do. Mm-hmm. The referrals, you know, the referrals have been coming in, the program steadily grows, but we're all limited only by our manpower, it seems, at the time. So we're working on that, and we're doing some research and insight right now into where are those industry members that aren't receiving palliative care, and why aren't they receiving palliative care, and what can we do to help with them? Because the thought that people are out there struggling with an illness on their own, and you know the suffering that goes in, whether it's physical or existential or psychosocial or any other type of suffering, if they're experiencing that and we know that there's a way to help them, we want to make that connection. So that's where we're struggling right now. We've gotten to a certain level, but we need to go to the next step because there's so many more people.
for the Daily Call Sheet and dealing with social isolation and loneliness, no one really wants to say, hey, I'm lonely or socially isolated. And as Linda had mentioned, if you are experiencing any loneliness or isolation, you tend to self-isolate even more. So those people go underground. So finding the people that need our services and help is one of the steps that we find challenging. And one of the things we're doing is working to destigmatize social isolation and loneliness and treat this more like an alumni association where we reach out and let people know, hey, you're part of us. Even though you're not working right now and you're retired or you're no longer active, we still want you to be engaged with MPTF. So we're reaching out and not even using the words isolation and loneliness. It's about engagement, staying connected, be healthy. It's great for all of us. And we're finding that that is how we're overcoming the challenge. And the social workers have reframed how they're talking about the program, and that's made a big difference as well.
How so?
Well, I think when they first heard about the program, they were using the words, you know, you're very isolated. You don't have anyone around you. Why don't I connect you with the Daily Call Sheet? And they were getting, I'm not lonely. I like being alone. I like, you know, my solitude. So instead, we wrote, I rewrote the pitch or the description. And now it's just, you know, we have this wonderful program you might want to look into. It's really fun. It's a social connectivity program for all MPTF members are eligible. And since then, we've had a huge uptick in people interested in learning more and signing it on to get and become volunteers. So get the calls and volunteer.
I think we're looking at it more like peer-to-peer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Connect with your peers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also finding out about loneliness in the groups that I'm putting together because we have people who were in even high-powered executive jobs who've been aged out. And suddenly they don't have their office to go to anymore. They have no structure in their lives and they need community. So that's what I'm trying to build with our volunteers in the community. And we now have two very tight-knit groups that began from workshops where actually three, if we're going to count the singing group.
Sing Fit.
Thank you. These are people who didn't know each other in the beginning of these programs who came together to support MPTF. And now they're friends, they have lunch together, they have dinner together, and they do SingFit, for instance, several days a week here. And they are so dedicated to promoting this and to reducing the kinds of loneliness that our residents feel on campus. And the loneliness that the people in the community are being alleviated from these groups that are terrific, that are volunteer-led.
I mean, I think when you think about the challenges, you know, Fred had just mentioned something related to the aging population, right? So MPTF has nearly 100 years under our belt of doing this kind of work, right? But it's an ever-changing industry. People have so much competing for their time and attention. So it's really a challenge to really keep our community engaged. And it's a time where we need everybody to really step up and all play their part to really be able to help each other. We're taking on big challenges. So you have an aging population, 10,000 people turning 65 every day. As an organization that's committed to getting the industry to step up to take care of our own, that means taking care of older people, and there are a lot more of them coming down the line. That's a massive challenge. We've been talking about taking care of these social factors, the loneliness, the purpose. That's a challenge because we know how much those impact people, but that's not common knowledge. If you just say, you know, healthcare, people might understand it, but we're taking on really next era challenges, which require everybody to step up. So no shortage of challenge, but no shortage of energy and ambition from our organization to do what we've been doing, you know, for almost 100 years, taking care of our own, seeing a need and filling it, you know. And when you hear the stories of these programs and the lives that they've touched, how could we not do that?
Now, you use the word engagement, which is a word that, you know, we like to use because it's something that you're always striving to get more and more of. What is it that you think drives the most passionate engagement from people who are either coming to us for help or to volunteer? What do you think gets the best results there?
Well, I think this I think, just getting involved. That's why I think volunteerism is so important, because we know that volunteerism helps the person volunteering and helps the recipient, right? That's just a fact. But once people get involved in any way with MPTF, it just gets in your blood. It's just sort of, you get hooked on that ability to be able to do something that gives back and to step up to be a part of your community and help your community. I mean, that's why if you look at the leadership of our organization, you look at our CEO, it all started with him coming to one of our events, figuring out a way to give, then figuring out how to get more involved, and now, you know, doing an incredible job leading this organization into the next era. So I think engagement is about helping industry members know about us and then just taking that first step. Because once you step in, you just get completely hooked.
It's a gateway drug.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All our volunteers say they receive more than they give. Mm-hmm. And it's true.
And I think people get hesitant because I think, well, what do I have to give? What do I have to contribute? But one of the things we've shown when we've been looking at some of the data in palliative is that relieving somebody's distress can take something as simple as just being present and listening, and you can make this major impact on somebody, on the person that you're doing that for. It's just being willing to open yourself up, and just being there is enough. Mm-hmm. And all of us have the ability to do that. Mm-hmm. And so the person who's hesitant and goes, what do I have to offer? I don't know. I'd like to volunteer, but what can I do? It's like just letting them know, just being who they are and being on the other end of a conversation with somebody, they are making a big impact.
Now, the palliative care program here is unique in that, first of all, we are built around the entertainment industry, but we have this sort of cutting-edge program that's actually been, you know, nationally recognized.
Yes.
So what is it that you think makes the MPTF palliative care program so special?
I think it's because we really took to heart the core pillars of what's supposed to make good palliative care. And when that came out years ago via the National Consensus Project, it was to make sure that you really were treating the whole person. Mm-hmm. Palliative medicine is about, okay, you've got a physician or nurse practitioner and you're treating the physical symptoms of what's going on. But palliative care is really saying, again, that the person is more than just what their body's experiencing. What's going on in their soul? What's going on in their mind? What's going on in their life? What's going on in their finances? All of that comes into play. And so if you're really going to treat somebody, you've got to treat all those aspects that are being impacted by the illness. And so that's where I think we've been very unique in that we've been able to accomplish that. We've got dedicated chaplains. We've got dedicated social workers, nurse practitioners, physicians, all trained and certified in palliative care. So it really is looking and recognizing that, you know, the necessity of really making sure that we're delivering all those services. And that's something it's been a task that we've taken very seriously. And so it has, not going to say it's been easy to accomplish that, but it's also something I see as a luxury because we have had the support of an administration that has really allowed us to maintain that standard.
I mean, think about that for a second. If you're anyone in the world struggling with serious illness, you know, maybe cancer, maybe a neurodegenerative disease, but serious illness, typically you have to go to your doctor and your specialist and just navigate the system, and there's very little to support you. This kind of palliative care program that's available in the community is very rare. Mm-hmm. But if you're part of the industry and you have to deal with serious illness, you now come in, you see a team coordinator who directs you to a chaplain and social worker who will meet with you and take a half hour to work through all your needs, and then see a physician who will take a half hour or an hour to work through all your symptom mm-hmm. managements and needs. And then, as if that's not enough, see a team that is there to provide integrative holistic therapy to help you with your self-care through yoga, through meditation, through use of aromatherapy, essential oils. I mean, that's unbelievable. And the only qualification is that you're just part of this industry. And now you have the access to that.
Right. And to build on that, not only is that available to you, it's available to the people who love you. Mm-hmm. So that we're caring for, you know, if you're the person with the illness, we're caring for your family, your loved ones, the people that are helping you, because everybody, again, an illness doesn't affect just the person with
Absolutely.
It affects the whole circle of tribe around them. Mm-hmm. And we're there to support all of it.
which includes volunteers. Our volunteers will help with caregivers and spouses who are dealing with someone at home, especially mm-hmm. in palliative mm-hmm. care. They'll be a friend, and they'll provide respite for anybody who's caring for someone.
So now, since you, as again you point out, this MPTF is there for anyone in the industry, although a lot of them may not realize it. You know, every year we're always trying to get the word out more and more and more. So there's always like new people who are coming into the job who, you know, you want them to know that MPTF is there to help them out. So if someone who was new to the industry walked up to you, what is the number one thing that you personally would want them to know if you could tell them one thing?
Well, I mean, I love to just tell people, you know, about find out, have they heard about MPTF and let them know. But, you know, there's some things that I like to just let people know right away that are common myths that, you know, you do not need to be part of a union or a guild mm-hmm. to qualify for services. You do not need to work directly on a set. We help people throughout the industry who work in a variety of roles, either directly in production or other behind the scenes services, all through, you know, every role in the industry, we have services. So I like to just make sure that people know about us and that to have as broad as possible understanding of who might qualify for services. You know, and then I think it's really just about sharing our mission, which really drives everything that we do.
I think it's the collaboration between all of us at MPTF that really makes it a good support system for the industry. We all talk to each other, we know what we're doing, and we see how we can overlap our services and how to provide the best care for someone.
I second what Scott said. I was in the industry, my husband was in the industry, and I didn't know about all the great programs here, and I live 5 miles away. So now when I tell people where I work, I'm excited to tell them about all the amazing programs, the volunteer opportunities, the palliative care, you know, and to just let them know that this is there for them and that they can come and explore, and not just for them, but also we do treat family members, right. People that are parents of industry members can receive calls from the daily call sheet. You know, you might be on set and on location far, far away and can't make calls. We can make those calls for you and check in with your loved ones. So I'm excited, like Scott, to you know, let them know that we are here in multiple ways for them. And if they want to get involved, that we have lots of opportunities for them to do that.
Yeah, I usually just give out a lot of emails and phone numbers to just say, just call. You know, forget about the details. Just call this number. Yeah. I guarantee you there is something that can help you in a way that you can help other people that will change your life. So just call.
Just go. See, I need to shorten mine because they always talk about needing to have your elevator pitch ready. And I find I'm talking very, very fast in the elevator because I want to get all this information out. And it's probably, I should either say just call or go to the website. You know, we're here, we exist, we're here for you. Mm-hmm. There, you know, there's a role for you to play, and there's a role for us to play for you, but just check out the website.
It's hard to do an elevator pitch because we have so much to give. Yeah. Right. We can't really condense it.
You have to block the door.
We do have our little cards with all the numbers on them, you know. So since we're talking about what's happening in the past year, say in 2017, was there a particular moment involving a volunteer or a recipient that stands out in your memory the most?
Well, I have one. I have a recipient. Her name's Frances. She's 93 years old. And I matched her with a volunteer who was in her late 70s. And they were getting on just fine. But she called and left a message and told me that these phone calls were like a pair of arms that reached out and hugged her. And she said, I don't email. I don't text. She said, I don't even know what a tweet is. But she said this voice on the other end of the phone has given her so much comfort and that she looks forward to them. And then she went on to tell me that all of her friends have passed on. She has no living family, you know, to talk to other than a disabled son that she is still caring for. So this is a woman who's had a pretty hard life. She gave over 35 years of uninterrupted service to the industry. And this match, these two talk about 4 times a week. They talk for 20, 30, 40 minutes at a time. And they formed a real bond. But hearing that these calls were feeling like giving her a hug, it just made me know that we're on to something really big.
going back to our drawing class in October, our 104-year-old resident came blazing into the class and said, "I want to learn how to draw." And she did. And through lines and circles and cylinders, she started drawing little people, which she called little people, drinking beer, Peroni in particular. And that was Connie Sawyer. And she passed away a couple of months later. But that's why she lived until 105, because she wanted to learn new things, and we were able to provide that for her.
And for me, it was a gentleman that was admitted to palliative care a couple of years ago as an outpatient with a progressive neurodegenerative disorder. He just was losing control of his body, though the mind was totally intact. And we supported he and his wife for an extended period of time. He would come in as an outpatient. As his condition progressed, which it was going to do, we helped him actually transition to come live on campus. And he was able to make a connection with somebody else who had the similar diagnosis but was earlier in, and kind of mentor that person of how to cope with and how to deal with the bumps in the road that were going to lie ahead. He was able to form a connection with other industry members who live here on campus and really finished out his days in a very committed, engaged way here on campus as a part of the residence council, et cetera. And this was something that he had thanked us over the time again and again for helping him to stay as functional and as active as he possibly could, you know, in spite of the fact that his body was declining, that he still felt like he had something to give. Mm-hmm. And that was, so now we continue to support his wife.
Yeah, no, it's I can't pick one moment. Every day there are moments that I know were having an indelible impact on people's lives, really changing lives, saving lives, making lives better. So it's too hard to really think of any one moment. But I can tell you every day that I know I'm doing my part to advance the MPTF mission, it just feels great. I know that I'm working with people who have a dedication, a commitment, and purpose that's second to none. Mm-hmm. And being part of that is really special.
So now let's talk about for our last question. What do you see coming up in the next year? What is your biggest hope that you think we're going to achieve here as part of the industry?
For me, for palliative, I'd like to see, one, that the MPTF continues to be a part of the national conversation, which we are, as far as advanced trying to advocate for legislation that supports the caregiver at home, that helps make it easier for people to be able to deal with a serious chronic illness and be able to give more support to their family. And there is legislation in Washington right now that's going towards that. But the other thing then, more on a local level and more of just our own backyard level, is again, expand our reach and get the word out to more industry members. I think just the big thing is letting people know what palliative care is and how it might impact them. Because when people hear about it, they either think about it in terms of their own personal circle, or they say, you know, so-and-so, that person could, you know, maybe could use some help. So it's just trying to just continue to broaden the reach of palliative care through education.
Through the Daily Call Sheet, our mission is to do everything we can to reduce the instances of loneliness and isolation within the industry and with industry members. We are going to be working on a marketing campaign to involve as many people as possible, both volunteers and recipients. So we are going to expand our reach quite a bit. And we'll continue to engage other Los Angeles organizations that are serving older adults to share our best practices and help support destigmatizing isolation and loneliness, so that, like mental health, it can be something that if someone feels they have a need, they aren't embarrassed to reach out and ask for help. And if we can make that part in the industry, and if the industry is a leader that way, the rest of the nation will follow. So we're doing our best to expand it here for our industry members, but we'll be sharing that with everyone nationally eventually.
The volunteer program starts at age 14, and our oldest volunteer is 96, who is an active volunteer. And my goal for 2018, going into 2019, is for everyone in the industry to play their part as a volunteer.
We all play our part.
We all play our part. But there are so many things they can do. You can volunteer anywhere, which is why the daily call sheet is so beautiful, because all you need is a telephone. We have a lot of people in the industry who are working on a production, might be traveling, and they'll say, but I'm traveling. I can't give that kind of commitment to be a volunteer. And I ask if they have a phone. If they do, I will sign them up. Everyone can play their part.
Yeah, I think we have an incredible year ahead. When you think about the history of our organization and nearly 100 years of service to this industry, it's incredible that we're going to be continuing to break new ground in the coming year. It's a year where we will continue to expand our reach into the community with a focus on these community and social programs that we know really make a difference in people's lives, so that we can reach more people and continue to innovate in creating services that are a national model that really offer industry members the best possible care.
If I could sort of look, one last little bonus question here, just off the top of your head. If there's something you haven't mentioned already that you're thinking of, but I just want to ask you, what is the most rewarding part of your job? Just off the top of your head, what do you think? Anybody?
I mean, working with incredible people. Just, this is, we have people within this organization who are so committed. And then, you know, the industry we serve, it's a dynamic industry that's about creativity and about storytelling. And to meet all of the people who do all this work in front of the camera, behind the camera, and everything around it, I mean, it's just an incredible community you know, every day I just love the people.
Right. And I would say that, yes, it's to echo that the people that we serve are just, they are incredible. And it's wonderful getting to know people. The best part of being here and the most rewarding part is, you know, getting up in the morning and knowing I have opportunities to make a difference in somebody's life today. And then going to bed at night feeling like I did. I had the opportunity to be able to do something that made a difference to somebody else.
It's incredibly rewarding to, you know, have a job that you love and you know that you're making an impact in one way or another. But for me, I think the sense of knowing I'm part of a team, you know, that everybody here is working very hard on their own, you know, projects, but we work together and our goals are all to lift up the industry members and to do our best. And so being part of a team that is committed to that kind of excellence is, it's very meaningful and it adds value to my life.
My answer is a little more complicated because I'm me.
So many rewards.
So many rewards, but my story is unique in that I began about 13 years ago as a volunteer, and I fell in love with the volunteer program after a family member was here. Linda Healy took care of my mother-in-law, and when she died, I couldn't leave because I was so committed to the mission and the way people took care of the residents on campus that I wanted to be involved, I wanted to give back. And many of our volunteers have that same story. They want to give back for what they received. And I volunteered, I learned more about the program, I learned more about the organization, and then I developed a program to expand it. And I was hired a couple of years ago to do that. And I love getting up in the morning. Every day is the best day of my life. Which my husband is tired of hearing.
How good can it get?
But it truly is. I mean, I'm so happy to come to work because of the people I work with. I mean, Maureen and Linda and Scott are just, you know, an example of the greatness that happens on this campus. And it's not just people in the positions who are changing things. When you look across campus and you look at the gardening staff and you look at the serving staff who treat the residents as if this is their home, and the relationships that develop between everyone who works here, it's really a beautiful collaborative effort.
Beautifully said.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Linda, Maureen, Freda. This has been fantastic. And here's to another great year here at MPTF.
Thank you, Nate.
Thank you.